So Tim, can you tell me a little bit how you came about being an MP in Parliament, moving from your previous role as Arts Chief in Waikato?
It had always been an ambition of mine to enter Parliament since I was a teenager. And my immediate role before entering Parliament was as Chief Executive of Arts Waikato, which is a regional arts trust. Prior to that, I had a background in education and marketing, but a long time involvement in the National Party. I've been a candidate in several previous elections. Very nearly made it to Parliament in 2005 in Hamilton West. But Hamilton West is one of those electorates which tends to go the way of the government of the day, and we just fell short on election night in 2005, and I just fell short on the electorate. In 2008, it was my turn.
So you came in 2005, you've got your name out
there, and you've got some support. Definitely, in the Hamilton West election, yeah. That run probably helped me 3 years later, because it meant that I was quite well known, and I think I got some kudos for coming back and having another go, having almost won the electorate 3 years earlier. 3 years before that, I'd been over in Tauranga and had a pretty shattering defeat against Winston Peters in one of the most difficult elections the National Party has had.
So, can you tell me then, who are some people that really inspired you to say, you know, a couple of people from the National Party and some people outside?
As I mentioned, I've been involved and interested in politics for a long time. So, from my childhood days, I remember people like Brian Talbots, who was Deputy Prime Minister under Rob Muldoon for most of the 9 years that Sir Rob was Prime Minister. Brian Talbots really impressed me as, I think, one of the statesmen of his generation in Parliament, a man of quite forceful personality, but also great dignity. And always I felt somebody who argued intelligently the issues of the day and avoided personality politics. And that is a style I'd like to emulate. That really impressed me. Other men of that generation, Gentleman Jack, Sir John Marshall, who was Deputy Prime Minister for a long time under Sir Keith Olliott, who was also an impressive man. But Gentleman Jack, I think, was a character who impressed me, a very acute legal mind. I think a much underrated politician, who achieved a huge amount, and yet the historians tend to sort of look at some other people.
What are some key skills that you looked up to?
I think his ability as, with a very sharp analytical mind, he had a strong legal background, probably one of the brightest men of the modern era. Also, as I say, he was a gentleman, but a man of very firm convictions and values, a strong Christian faith. He just brought to his role the sort of values that I admired. George Kerr was another one, a man who was a very able minister, took on some very difficult portfolios and always managed to take the heat out of them. To some extent, depoliticised them, just focused in on the issues and got things done. Bill Rowland, Sir Wallace Rowland, for his again, his intelligence and I think his strong commitment to the country and to what he wanted to do. I thought he was an admirable character. David Long, for his huge heart, his wit. I mean, he's such an entertaining man. I thought he went off the rails a little bit towards the end. In fact, I've often said he's the only man to have held the role of Prime Minister and Leader of the Opposition simultaneously. But he was definitely a very colourful character and somebody who you couldn't help but warm to. So there are a couple on the other side of the house. I'm a great admirer of John Key. I think he is an outstanding Prime Minister, and I'm very proud to be a part of his team, and I'm sure that in the years to come, people in my position now, but also people who are in the same sort of role in a generation from now, will point to John as a man who really inspired them, because I think he's doing a tremendous job. He has a great ability to focus on the issues, to talk clearly to people about what the problems are, what he sees the solutions as, and then carry people with him. And that's a great skill in politics.
Right. Is there any other sort of, perhaps there's no MPs in your party or outside of the party?
There are many in the current lot on both sides of the House. I'd like to think that I can actually get on pretty well with most MPs across the Parliament, and I really enjoy the company of my own intake of national MPs, but also get on pretty well with most of the new Labour MPs. Chester Burrows would be one who I particularly have formed a good friendship with. He came into Parliament 3 years before me. A bit like me, he took a long time to get here. It stood several times before he finally got in, and I admired his commitment and determination to get here. And I think he, again, brings the sort of values to the role. He's a strong, veteran MP. He's got a great background in through his police work, particularly with young people and dealing with some of the problems that are really pressing in our country. And I just enjoy him as a person. To be honest, I get on well with most of my colleagues and I enjoy the company, and that's one of the reasons why I enjoy being in the role.
Yeah, brilliant. And then what's your opinion on the recent sort of thing that's coming to news with the NUP system?
I'm very pleased that we've announced that that opportunity for people to have another say on the NUP system is going to happen, because having been a candidate for several elections, people have often said to me, I thought we were going to get another say on the electoral system after a couple of experiences of it. Most people had that expectation. In fact, the MPs in a previous parliament said, well, we'll do it for you. They had the review, and they said, you're very happy with it, thank you very much, and all went through very quickly. And I think a lot of people felt they'd been duped. So National had the policy for several elections now that we would give the public another say on the electoral system. And this, of course, is the first time we've been in government for 9 years, and therefore in a position to do it.
So how do we expand on it?
Well, as I say, I think it's important to give them that opportunity. My personal hope would be that we will go to a different electoral system.
Right.
I doubt that we would go back to first past the post. I think most New Zealanders probably like the diversity of the parliament, but I think that there are some fundamental inequalities and inadequacies in the MMP system. There are, to my mind, better proportional systems available.
Is there any that you can sort of see?
Well, probably SPV would be one that I think is overall a better system, but I don't have a strong view on that. I'd really like to be able to look at some of the alternatives. What I think is important is to have a system whereby each vote right across the country does have equal value, but also where you lead to an MP that doesn't necessarily, sorry, have a parliament that doesn't necessarily have as many MPs as there are at the moment, but where the workload is spread more evenly. It doesn't necessarily have to be tied to a number of MPs, but I think there is probably an expectation it could be a reduction in the number of MPs.
Yeah.
That's not the primary outcome of it, but as the public is clearly concerned about across the parliament, it may be a bonus of it. I think one of the real problems with MMP is the fact that the two votes are unequal value, and a lot of people are confused when they vote about the importance of the party vote as against the option to elect a local member of parliament. But also the workload of a list member and a constituency member is very, very different. And I'm not sure that that is a fair way of electing them to parliament or allocating
duties.
How much
would you think it would be that this is going to be up for review?
It'll be up to the public to decide. I think that had we had this vote 4 or 5 years ago, I think there would have been a change. And there might still be, because one of the things that people say to me quite often is they don't like the feeling that a lot of list MPs who are pretty much unknown to the electorate at election time suddenly have enormous power to push through private members' bills and all the rest of it.
Citizens and their votes. And so, what's your opinion on that?
I certainly think that where we have a citizens initiated referendum and strong vote participation in it, I think any parliament needs to look very carefully at the result of that and to try to respect the outcome of it. There are some referenda that have been held where there's been a very low voter turnout and you don't necessarily have a true reflection of the way the public feels. The Smacking referendum attracted over 50% of voter turnout and a very strong conclusion in one direction.
Yeah.
And as a result, there are a number of people who are looking to Parliament to implement the outcome of the referendum as they saw it.
So you yourself, do you think it should
be taken more seriously? Well, I'm on record as having voted no in the referendum.
Yeah.
I've always argued that the majority opinion on that issue should be respected.
Yeah.
And therefore I'm very much hoping that as a result of some of the measures that are being taken at the moment, that outcome will be achieved.
So do you think in the future that it will be taken more seriously from us?
It'll depend on the issue, Emma. Okay. You know, I think it is an important aspect of our democratic structure at the moment that members of the public can mobilise support to call for a referendum. After all, it's a huge challenge. It might be needed over 300,000 votes.
Yeah.
That's a huge logistical exercise. If they get that number of signatures on a petition to force a referendum, then I think we must ensure that the whole exercise is conducted appropriately and taken as seriously as possible.